This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanasen with Noel Lim and Kusa Chuang in the studio this morning. We've got a poll running right now. Was there something for you in the Panjana Economic Recovery Plan? The poll right now has 150 votes with 50.3%, a very slim majority there, saying no. 27% saying not sure. 17% saying yes, but not enough. 6% saying yes, I'm happy with it. Let us know what you think on Twitter at BFM Radio. Over the weekend, Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin announced that the beginning tomorrow, the movement control order will be further relaxed into the recovery movement control order. Malaysians will now be able to travel domestically, go to night markets and hair salons, among other things.
Yeah, so the haircut thing, right, is a big thing. So this announcement came after the government unveiled a short-term economic recovery plan called Panjana. The plan, worth 35 billion ringgit, will involve 10 billion ringgit of direct fiscal injection. I think what will happen is that with this additional injection, I think the budget deficit will be pushed to something like 5.4% of GDP. I think Panjana adds on 0.7% of the budget deficit.
Yeah, one of the highlights is 5.3 billion ringgit will be allocated to extend wage subsidy programs. And then there's also the 2 billion ringgit allocated for upskilling 200,000 unemployed people and youth. And a few other things, including tourism-related industries, will have tax payment deferred to year end. Now, for more on this, we speak to Lawrence Todd, Head of Research and Development at the Institute of Democracy and Economic Affairs, otherwise known as IDEAS. Lawrence, are you there on the line with us?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Lawrence. What was your general first impression of this recovery stimulus package?
Well, I mean, we certainly welcome the package. I think it's a sort of another step building on what's been announced previously. This time, I think there's a little bit more to try to bring back consumption as well as sort of keep the economy going. But I think in general, I think we would see that this is an extension of the life support or the firefighting of the previous packages. So I don't think we're quite yet at the point of being able to see the shape of a recovery strategy that will sort of extend over the next 18 months, few years, and put Malaysia on a sort of permanently different footing. So I think the main thing now is to understand what is the longer term direction of the recovery. I think the other point to highlight is the implementation of these measures. I think we've seen in the figures coming through, but also, you know, many of us here, you know, from anecdotes or even our own experience, that sometimes the disbursement of some of these measures can be quite slow, and a lot of this money hasn't actually been allocated yet, even if it's been earmarked. So I think, you know, continuing to see how the implementation fares and whether businesses and workers that actually need this money are able to access it in time is crucial. So I think those two points, you know, the longer term vision and the question of the implementation are the things to watch moving forward.
So what other measures do you hope to see, at least on the longer term?
Well, I think that, as I said, I mean, I think that this current package is sort of an extension of the types of things that we've seen. So really is sort of life support, keeping the economy, parts of the economy sort of going in under reduced conditions. I think when we think longer term, I think we've got to think about a couple of points. Firstly, I think we need to make sure that we're doing better than just returning to the status quo. I think we want to make sure that we're embedding greater resilience and sustainability into the economy to withstand future shocks. I mean, this crisis itself, the pandemic, might have a second wave later this year or maybe even early next year. We don't know. And there's certainly the potential for similar shocks in the future. So I think, how do we build that resilience in? And then the second thing is how to use this as an opportunity to sort of tackle some of those structural issues that we've been discussing on this station many times over the last few years. So a good example in both categories is about digital, making sure that companies are more able to, you know, utilize digital technology. Now, this package does have measures relating to that enable more spending among businesses. The problem we have, though, is that we're lacking some of the structural enablers for the digital economy. So even if businesses can spend or have these grants to spend, then a lot of them still don't actually have access to good broadband in the first place. So we also need to look at infrastructure. We need to look at the regulatory environment within broadband. We need to look at the role of the different companies there. So some of these more structural questions have to come up and have to be lanced if we're going to have a meaningful longer term recovery strategy.
Well, Lawrence, as you say, as you point out, some of these structural issues oftentimes have to do with the leadership changes and the management willingness to push these reforms through. In that respect, some of the GLC appointments in recent times, most recently mm-hmm. with the Petronas CEO, have they rung a positive chord with you or otherwise?
Well, look, I mean, it's difficult to comment on specifics. I mean, from everything I read, this most recent appointment, he seems to be well qualified. Look, I think there's a, for me, I think the issue is, do we have a set of institutions in place that check the government's discretion to make appointments across the landscape of GLCs? The government has a lot of power, actually, when it comes to being able to shape the direction of these different entities through appointments. And there's very little in the way of sort of a structure around that. You know, there's no mandated panels of candidates. There's no mandated process for appointment. There's no hearings in Parliament and so on. So I think we need to look at how we bring some of those in so that we can be more confident in the appointments that are being made. And that's not to comment on any specifics, but just in general about the process. I think Petronas is a really important company for several reasons. One, it's very important to the Malaysian economy, of course, but it also sends a real signal around the world that, you know, Malaysian and particularly Malaysian state-linked companies are capable of being extremely well-run and extremely effective. So I think maintaining that reputation is crucial. So I do think that, you know, those things would be bolstered if we had a better process around appointments that included some clearer scrutiny and accountability on the government's decisions.
All right, Lawrence, on top of the recovery plan, the government has also announced that the MCO will be loosened starting tomorrow. Interstate travel, night markets and certain recreational activities mm-hmm. will resume. How much do you think this will spur the economy?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, I think that, you know, the interesting thing is, you know, we kind of came into the MCO very abruptly and now we're coming out of it quite gradually. And there's two sort of key things that are running in parallel. One of them is what is the actual rules and what allowed people out to do. And secondly is what is people's confidence to go out and do those things. And I think what we've seen in the last few weeks is that confidence and the desire to go out and spend and consume has been a bit lagging, actually. People still feel quite cautious. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out over the next couple of weeks as these restrictions are lifted further. I mean, I have to say, from my perspective, I think the government is being quite prudent. I think the approach seems to me to be quite sensible to at this point be announcing the package that has more of a focus on consumption as well as easing the restrictions. I think they're taking a balanced approach to trying to bring the economy back as well as continue to manage the risk of the pandemic itself.
Yeah, Lawrence, from a data standpoint, there's been a smattering of statistics. For example, credit card impairments in March, then there was a downtick in April, then of course car sales in April, which were not very good, 99% mm. down on a year-on-year basis. What's your analysis of the data given so far in terms of the health of the economy?
Yeah, it's very difficult to know. I mean, I think the figures that really concerned me were figures, basically the number of businesses that have not been able to raise to basically have any customers. And that, okay, we've seen data from SME Association, sort of their survey data, but actually also from the Department of Statistics that found, I think, 70% of businesses weren't anticipating or hadn't made any money during the MCO period. Now, that's quite serious because on my rough calculations, although the fiscal stimulus has been quite significant, it's not enough to keep all those businesses. So I think what worries me is whether we're going to see a kind of serious wave of business closures. Because that will massively slow down the extent to which the economy can bounce back quickly. So the figures that have worried me have been about how many businesses have just completely dried up and haven't been able to make any money during this period. So we'll see sort of when that wave hits us, you know, how bad the damage was during these last 2 months.
Tan Sri Muhyiddin has been Prime Minister for about 100 days now. How would you rate his leadership so far? 1 out of 10, 10 being extremely good?
Well, look, I mean, it's a very difficult context, isn't it? Because, you know, I think even the Prime Minister himself would recognise the way he came to power was not perfect. And I think what happened with the change of government did did frankly damage the process of democratic reform in Malaysia, and that will always be there in the background of his premiership. But then, of course, he was plunged straight into this unprecedented health crisis, which I think, to his credit, you know, I think the government has, there's been a lot of criticism and a lot of that is justified, but I think on balance, I think they have navigated it quite effectively. I mean, when you compare the number of cases and deaths in Malaysia to, you know, for example, in my own country of the United Kingdom, you know, it's just completely orders of magnitude different. And there might be quite a lot of factors playing into that, but I think you have to recognise that the government has did act swiftly and decisively.
So seven, eight out of 10?
Well, I won't be drawn on that, I don't think. It's, you know, it's not worth my job, but I do think he's handled this crisis quite effectively.
All right, Lawrence, thank you so much for your time this morning. That was Lawrence Todd of Ideas, and right now we're going into a few messages. And when we come back, I'll be speaking to Lucas Ngum, co-founder of Carousel, on their growth prospects in the region. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.